Good morning. I'm happy to welcome Kristen Gunnels to the show today. She's a veterinarian at Riverside Animal Hospital in Sparta, Tennessee, a place where expert care meets genuine compassion. At Riverside, their mission says it all. Your pets, our family. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here. So you are, before we got on air, the little paper said Dr. Kristen, and you're not a veterinarian.
I'm actually not a veterinarian, no.
That is kind of, I love that, because I think that people think, well, you have this skill set, you must be able to run a business.
Right.
And that's not always the case.
It's not. So, I was pre-vet at Tennessee Tech. The dream was to be a veterinarian.
When you're little, liked animals, and that's what people told you.
That's what you do. You go, yeah. I'm going to be a vet.
Yeah.
And I actually didn't even fall into that till I got into college. And then I was like, no, I want to work with animals. And luckily got my foot in the door, and my first job was working with animals, and became a...
Why'd you deter from that vet track?
So once I started working as a veterinary assistant, because I'm not a licensed technician either, but, mm-hmm. Working like a vet tech, mm-hmm. I was an ER vet tech for a lot of years.
Oh, and wow.
Vet assistant. Be legal here.
Yeah.
And loved that. I love the medicine aspect of it. I love challenges and problem solving. But I'm also like a big numbers nerd, and I love people. I love like leading people, helping people. I just really have a heart of service. And so when I got into kind of the leadership aspect of things and really started looking at like business numbers and the business aspect of it, I figured out I'm way better at that than the medicine side of things. And so I changed. I was like, you know what? I'd be a better business manager than I would be a veterinarian.
I think one of the things that really is just really drawing me into your story is that so often people think that the only way to be involved in the thing they love is to like be the main thing. But there's always, kind of exterior parts to that. I tell a lot of younger kids that like sports. Well, I really love basketball, but I really love math. You could be a statistician for a basketball team. You could even do it for Major League Basketball if you wanted. But people think that, they have to be the star athlete, and that's the only way they can do what they love.
Right.
And I love that you kind of have found your way. Do you think that it was your upbringing that people encouraged you to kind of like pave your own path?
Oh, I'm for sure my mother's daughter. Like she's the hostess with the mostest. Like anywhere she goes, she is just a beacon of light. Right. Mm-hmm. And I have a lot of her, people skills. I was very blessed to get those from her. My dad is like polar opposite. Like he's very quiet. He's very like pragmatic and analytical. He likes to like work through things. And when he speaks, it's impactful because he doesn't speak or raise his voice about a thing often. Mm-hmm. So when he says, hey, this is important, everyone stops to listen. And so mm-hmm. I was really blessed to get the best of both worlds there. And so I think leading with people, you have to kind of have a mix of two. You have to be able to kind of dial it back and really hear someone.
Which is interesting, opening a veterinary hospital.
Oh, yeah.
To say leading with people.
Yeah.
Because, you think, well, shouldn't your whole entire focus be on the pets and not the people? And where did you choose to kind of look at, okay, we need to take some compassion for these pet parents too?
Yeah. Well, and I think just being in the industry for so long, like it's, at the end of the day, you can't help the pet without first helping the person.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you help the pet, if the person doesn't understand what you did, why you did it, if you haven't been there for your team to support them in doing that, then it's all wasted. So mm-hmm. it's like you kind of have to have all of those different aspects, as you say, like the different support people, the different people that are all involved in it. To get a good outcome or to get the best outcome.
And working in the industry for years and years, you have kind of seen all the players and the positions that work well and what each job really entails. And so finding the right team of opening your own business was probably, you probably had some background that helped you in that process.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. The two veterinarians I've hired, Dr. Brianna Robbins and Dr. Monica Jones, they're amazing. And they come from ER experience. I really shared with them like the vision of like, hey, we want to have a private practice that is really just about culture and about building a really solid team so that we can better take care of our clients. And so mm-hmm. that we have that compassion with people to sit and go hand in hand what do you need and what does your pet need? And let's make that decision together, because it's different for everybody, mm-hmm. right? So one client may be motivated by, I just need the most cost effective, put a Band-Aid on it. I have 15 kids and I have other priorities. And we
15
have,
dogs, 15 right, kids, 15, right. you know, lots of other expenses.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
All the way to like somebody else who's like, this dog is my baby. This is my everything. I don't care what you need to do, but you just do it. Mm-hmm. And they're more motivated by like, hey, I need everything. Mm-hmm. And I want you to do all the things. And so we really wanted to build something that not only had a good culture within our team, but also that we could work with clients like hand in hand.
How has that process been? When did you're a newer business. When did you guys open?
We're brand new. So we opened just a couple weeks ago, okay. right before Labor Day. And we're right now doing like a soft opening. So mm-hmm. we're kind of limiting appointments. We're really focusing on like team training and team building, because this is a brand new team. I think we had two of our assistants that knew each other prior, had met prior. Mm. Everybody else is like brand new. Like nobody, yeah. nobody knew anybody. So it's been really fun. How has that process been
for you to learn? So you were an office manager at Copeland's. Mm-hmm. And so you did have some managerial experience at that, but really being the person to tie it all together. And this is your business at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know, how has that been kind of pulling this team together and pulling the facility together? I'm sure there's just been a lot of moving parts, I'm sure, for you.
Tons. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of, I don't think I've slept in like 2 months. It's yeah. 3 months maybe. Yeah. It's been fun though, because like I said, the veterinarians and I wanted to be really purposeful. We tried to hire for, that heart of service we talk about, you know, having people on our team that have that desire to help people, mm-hmm. First and foremost. And then that allows us to help their pets better. And we have some really skilled, you know, assistants and technicians on our team as well. So, getting all of those, I guess, moving parts to work together cohesively has been really fun. Like every single person gets along. Our team is fantastic. And so far, like the community, it's been amazing. People have been so warm and welcoming and just really inviting. And so we're really looking forward to, you know, growing that and being able to expand services and do all the things.
We're talking with Kristen Gunnels this morning from Riverside Vet Hospital in Sparta. So Sparta was there a reason to choose the Sparta area instead of the Cookeville area? What was your thoughts on them?
The previous owner, Dr. Hedrick, Stephen Hedrick, had been there at White County Veterinary Hospital, was what the practice was previously. Gosh, for probably the last 30 years. And I've known him and worked with him for a long time. Amazing veterinarian. I used to joke, like, he was such a good diagnostician. He could look at a dog and go, oh, here's what's wrong with your dog. But over the years, you know, I think he just wasn't able to.
He was almost like a dog, like dogs, they say, that can smell certain
yeah.
things. Like your human has cancer because yeah. they can smell. Like he had dog-like tendencies.
100%. He'd be like, this is what's wrong with your dog. But
we'll run testing just to confirm it.
But. Yeah. over the years, he just didn't have a lot of the, I guess like the tools to be able to actually treat those things. Like mm-hmm. he didn't have an x-ray. He didn't have some of the things that you would need to, like you say, do the testing to confirm it or do the surgery to fix it. And so, you know, he would refer those things out. And he was just really, I mean, after what, 35, 40 years as a solo, it was just him. So like, you know, the business opened with him, closed with him. Mm-hmm. Practitioner, he was just looking for a retirement path. Mm-hmm. And I've been, you know, like I said, good colleagues with him for many, many years. And he and I had chatted. I was actually like trying to help find that path for him of an exit path and retirement strategy. And, you know, as fate would have it, I had, you know, two doctors, Dr. Robbins, Dr. Jones kind of say, hey, I took him to coffee and I said, let's have a conversation. This is the vision. This is kind of what we want to do. We want to take care of people. We want to have a private practice. We want to have a really collaborative practice where we all work together. And a progressive practice where we're doing advanced medical procedures and advanced medicine, you know, in a private practice setting, in a smaller practice setting. And not in a million years did I think they would say, yeah, that sounds amazing. But they mm-hmm. were like, yeah, this is great. Mm-hmm. And I said, we should talk more. So that, you know, we began to go on like little coffee dates and just sit and chat and like talk about what their vision is. And I talked a little bit about my vision with the team and culture aspect of it. And they really, I think, they were very much in line with the same goals, right? And so,
what was the moment where, you know, you kind of had mentioned before that you thought this was a pipe dream to own a veterinary hospital?
Yeah.
Like, oh, wouldn't that be cool if kind of thing? What was the moment that you're like, this is going to actually happen. Like, I'm going to own a business.
Yeah, it was a Thursday.
I love it. Yes.
No, it was a Thursday. And it was really and truly like the talking back and forth with the veterinarians. We had to negotiate contracts and things like that. And so, you know, once they were like, hey, we're on board, you know, we're going to sign these contracts. We're on board. We're ready to go. We think this is great. It was a Thursday and I was like, oh my gosh, this is really happening. Like this is going to happen.
And so did you buy the business from this other doctor? Nope. So you kind of bought him out. What was the thoughts on changing the name as opposed to keeping the name or?
So I think a lot of it is, we wanted to be purposeful of launching something brand new, mm-hmm. right? So like I've, when I worked at Copeland several years ago, I guess, we went through a similar process where Dr. Flatt retired from Flatt Veterinary Clinic in Cookeville. Mm-hmm. And so I've been through that process of buying a practice and completely kind of renovating it and relaunching it. With Dr. Flatt's office, we kept the name, we kept all the things. What's different with this one is it's an entirely new team. It's an entirely new practice. Now, Dr. Hedricks, one of his technicians, did stay on with us. She's amazing. Everybody knows her, and a lot of his previous clients that have come in are like, is Amanda here? I'm like, she is. Come on in.
Yeah.
And people call for her, so we did keep her on. But building something brand new, we thought it was really important to launch a new name, launch our own branding, our own culture, and that kind of thing.
Well, and that is part of the business aspect is getting to, some people may think it's like, oh, this is terrible, but you do get to kind of sit down and workshop what a name would be and what a logo mm-hmm. would look like and what do you want to present to the world, and kind of having some other services that weren't offered before. You want to make sure that you were able to kind of convey that it's not the same
exactly.
same old animal hospital, I guess. Stick with us and we'll be right back. We are back with Kristen Gunnels from Riverside Veterinary Hospital, where your pets are treated like family. So not only just, you know, kind of a rebrand, refresh, breathing some life into this, the business, but you also are breathing life into the facility, different services than were offered before. You mentioned that there was no x-ray machine. Is that something that you have invested in? Is that something that you're going to invest in?
Oh, girl, it's been wild. So we've done like a complete renovation of the entire facility. Like even to the point of like we repainted the entire building.
Do you love that stuff? Or was that like, oh my gosh, what color do I paint this?
Okay, so I'm like not a painter. Like, let's be real.
Yeah.
It was fun though, because so I hired a professional for the exterior, like painting, because like I'm going to mess something up. And I know it's very important, like with waterproofing and all the things that you have to do. So I was like, let's leave that to professionals. The interior, we actually had like a friends and family paint day where we had like, you know, any staff that was hired and veterinarians and all of, I think we had like, I'm not even joking, probably 40 people come in, and I just went and bought, we picked out our paint colors. I went and bought the paint. We ordered an ungodly amount of pizza and everybody just worked together, and we spent the whole day painting and got the inside painted.
And that helps go along with this collaborative mission that you're trying to instill in all your staff of having their loved ones, their friends and their family be part of things. Kind of gives them all a little ownership. And I think that's part of the small town heart of things. Mm-hmm. You know, you have this veterinary hospital in White County. It's a smaller area. You know, it's not in big Cookeville. It's in the smaller area. And then you just kind of have this, like, you know, people feel like it's they have a part of things.
Yeah, for sure. So we did all the painting inside, and then we've brought in, we have a brand new digital x-ray. We have ultrasound. We have dental x-ray, a brand new dental suite and dental units. Of course, all of the like surgical lighting and things like that.
When you start, and maybe you just felt like there was nothing you could do, this was just necessary. But when you own a business or you know, starting a business, you see those bills come in and you're like, oh, that's a lot to stomach. Oh, here's another bill. There's another bill. Why did you feel like these were such important things? You know, you could have run a bare bones vet clinic and not necessarily a hospital. You could have just kind of taken over what was already being done. Why push it and really have something that's more advanced, probably even technology that some of the vet hospitals that have already been in existence?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that goes directly back to like, if I'm going to give our team tools, right? Because everything's just a tool. X-ray is a tool. Ultrasound's a tool to like let us do our jobs better. And we have a dynamite in-house lab too. We can do everything. It's so fun. And again, I'm a nerd, so I'm like, ooh, toys, this is great. But if I'm going to try to set our team up for success, I need to give them the tools to do their job well. Mm-hmm. And so if we, you know, had said, hey, we're going to kind of not go that route, and we're just not going to add that service or that piece of equipment in yet, financially, yeah, that would probably be a little easier on the OnStart for sure.
Yeah.
But like, are we really providing, when it comes back to our core mission, are we really providing people with that progressive collaborative care where we can sit and talk to them and go, this is what we think your pet needs, and how do you feel about that? And work hand in hand with them to get to a solution. And so we really didn't have a choice. I mean, at the end of the day, if that's our core mission, then not buying that equipment is going against our core beliefs and the whole reason we're wanting to start this in the first place. So,
well, and you really chose to jump in head first. No, yeah. Like, it could be the deep end. Who knows how deep this is going to be, but we're going to go all in on this. You didn't just dip a toe in, and you had been running, you know, even when you're an office manager, you know, a lot, you do a lot in an office, but it's not all on you. And how have you kind of been dealing with the weight of that, of, you know, now you're providing incomes for these, your people's families, and, does that feel heavier, or is that super exciting to you to be a part of?
It's wildly exciting. It's a huge sense of responsibility for sure. Mm-hmm. I was really blessed to have a lot of responsibility. I think more so than most people are afforded, with Copeland and my time there. When I started, we had 6 full-time employees and 2 doctors. We were just adding in our third when I was hired. And when I left, I was managing a team of 65 employees and 9 doctors or 8 doctors and 2 practices. And so to be a part of that growth and to be blessed to have a lot of experience and to be blessed to make a lot of mistakes. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm leveling with you. Your girl has made some mistakes over the years, but that's what's really taught me that it's okay to make mistakes and it's okay to take risks. And you know, with this new family that we have here in White County and in Sparta, it's really, you know, all of my eggs are in that basket, and I believe in what we're doing, and I have a passion for that mission, and we've built a team that shares in those same, you know, purpose. And so I think, you know, it can only go up. So
for all the pet owners that are listening this morning, what would you say is the reason for them? I mean, most pet owners have some sort of vet, you know, that they see regularly. If they're looking to switch, or if they're just not, they don't regularly take their animal, which we can probably go into how regularly they should be taking their animals to the vet anyway. But what would you say is the reason to kind of make the switch and become a Riverside patient?
Yeah. I mean, I think really it's just about coming and meeting the team and seeing and feeling that level of service. I hope speaks volumes to people that come in. I think so far, like I said, we've had such a warm welcome, and we've really gotten to, celebrate in some really hard cases. And we've had some tragic cases and even just being open for a couple weeks. And so it's really just about inviting the community to say, hey, let me go meet the team. Let me go talk about, you know, this lump that's on my dog that I've worried about for 6 months. And every time I think about it, I go, oh, I got to get him in. And then I forget about it until 2 weeks later when I go, oh, yeah, that lump, I need to get that checked out. So just come give us a try.
Are you doing emergency services? You mentioned that you worked in emergency services in the past.
Yeah. So I'm glad you asked that. That's the only thing we're not doing.
Okay.
And that, again, was very purposeful. As part of our vision, I've seen firsthand how difficult work-life balance is for people. When you have emergency services, and our 2 veterinarians are, one is a young mom and she has the cutest daughter. She's like,
I thought you were gonna say dog ever.
Well, she has cute dogs too. Yeah, in fact, one is a puppy named Goose who loves me. Dr. Robbins, I'm gonna steal him. But no, so you know, she has a young child.
Yeah.
Our other doctor just got married last week, so she is in a new phase of life as well.
Yeah.
And so just being understanding of that hey, with just having 2 doctors, that's a lot of sacrifice from their families and in their lives that they would have to make to be able to offer those services to clients.
Well, and I think you could lose that collaborative nature if you have, you know, somebody that's on call all the time and you're just not all there in the building at the, together. And so you lose that team aspect sometimes.
You do. And it really, you know, I think one thing that really goes you know, under the radar, I think, for a lot of people, especially in, and I'm sure it's the same in human healthcare, but in veterinary medicine, is there's a lot of compassion fatigue, and veterinarians work their booties off to try to be everything to everyone, you know, to be there to support their staff and to be there to help every client. And when you have to be there at 2 a.m. and you're back at 8, it starts to really affect the quality of care that you can give because you just have your bucket only fills so much.
Is it most common that veterinary hospitals are owned by veterinarians, or are they, do they usually have a business person that's running things?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think as everything else has changed over time, I think a lot of things have gone to like corporate ownership and there's a lot of that. And they're good corporations. You know, I think I was lucky enough to work for a really good corporation. And there are some that are a little bit more difficult. You know, we really wanted to have a private practice and be able to make very real decisions in very real time for what would be best for our business.
Well, and I think that it probably takes some weight off of a veterinarian to have somebody that they're not the business owner. They can focus on what they're good at instead of trying to focus on all the moving pieces.
Yeah, for sure.
More on the way with Kristen Gunnels coming up. We're talking with Kristen Gunnels from Riverside Veterinary Hospital this morning, where your pets are treated like family. So if you, just as pet owners that may be driving to work this morning, what's a PSA? Like what regular maintenance do animals need? I mean, I think if you adopt, or some people just find, you know, a cat or dog, a stray, what do people need to know? Is there regular, you know, appointments that they need to be taking their animals to, or what things, when's the time to go to the veterinary hospital? What do people, pet owners, need to know?
So, I mean, I think there's a couple of good points to that. If you find a puppy or a kitten, they do need like a series of vaccines when they're, especially when they're young like that. Just like people, just like babies, you know, the immune system takes some time to develop. And so getting boosters and getting regular checkups when they're younger is really important.
I think there's a push on social media a bit of like the cat universe has found you. Like that's supposed to be a thing when like the strays find you.
Yeah.
But like that doesn't mean you know how to take care of a cat or a kitten.
Yeah. I've tried to convince friends like when a possum shows up, that's just the cat delivery system. It's not really a possum. Yeah. You have to keep it forever. I don't have a possum, but it would be fun.
I have told my husband that we cannot have a possum. He's like, I think it would be fun. No, I'm not interested in having a possum as a pet.
You know, they have the most teeth of any mammal. And that's kind of terrifying.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't want to ever see their teeth. So speaking of which, you are treating dogs and cats at the veterinary
hospital. Not possums, dogs and cats. We are going to do some exotics. So exotics is, and I'm air quoting here in the studio, the exotics portion of that. That's like ferrets and guinea pigs and rabbits and things like that. Small reptiles. We're not going to do birds and we're not doing large animals. So that's really the best way to kind of encapsulate it.
Yeah. What's your timeline for exotics that will come about?
We're going to slow roll a lot of that just because we are still learning as a team and we've got to get our assistants trained on some of those things. But we encourage people, just call us. We can tell you, you know, what the appointment timeline looks like for things like that. And that way our veterinarians are also heavily involved in making those exotic appointments. I don't think we'll see as many of those. It's more limited, especially people bringing those type of animals in. And to that point, I mean, it's important for them to have exams too.
Yeah.
And after that, you know, baby phase, puppy kitten phase kind of thing.
Is that for like kind of the first year of?
Yeah. Usually like the first 6 months, it's just important to, you know, and I would encourage people to see a veterinarian. You know, you can go and get shots from Tractor Supply or you can go and get shots from different areas. But do we really know the quality control? You know, was that vaccine left out on the counter for 3 hours or in their warehouse and it just wasn't stored properly and handled properly? So,
well, just taking the proper look to make sure, you know, things are kind of functioning, you know, they feel kind of around and make sure organs kind of feel right.
Exactly.
Make sure their teeth are right. And there's just kind of an overall like, where if you this is your first time with a kitten, you may not know, oh, they're, you know, them kind of walking with a limp on the left side. You may not pick that up yourself, where you guys, the experts, would see something like that.
Hopefully. Yeah, that's the plan. And then after that, it's just like yearly maintenance. And it is important to have a full exam every single year. That's to your point, how you pick those things up. You know, we've had, I can't tell you over the years how many things we've caught just on a physical exam that the owner goes, what do you mean? I never even noticed that. Mm-hmm. And it ended up being a major issue.
Well, and you probably, you know, pets are, it is a weird situation, I guess, a little bit, because you have the pet owners who are, you know, and I probably am a little bit more on this side of it's my cat. I like my cat, but I'm probably not spending $3,000 to get something fixed on my cat.
Sure.
But then you have the other side of it where they're like, take $30,000 and fix my cat. Mm-hmm. I don't care what you know, this is my baby. So you have the whole gamut of things, but there is a cost effectiveness. And so doing that yearly maintenance could kind of save some money in the long run.
Oh, for sure.
For some of those major issues.
For sure. And I think even the people that say, like, hey, I wouldn't want to spend, you know, $3,000 on my pet. And there's reasons for that all across the spectrum. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's I have children or, hey, I just really, in today's economy, I can't afford to do that. Mm-hmm. Catching those things earlier to, you know, it will delay a lot of that excess cost. And not just that, but the pet is healthier, happier, more comfortable, hopefully
quality
lives
of life.
A longer life. Yeah.
So. Yeah. So what's your, you know, we're really new into this, but what's your 5-year plan? I mean, you're probably living beyond what you even could have dreamed. You know, this was like, wouldn't it be cool if I owned a vet hospital? But you're there now. So what's your 5-year vision for Riverside?
Yeah. So we really just want to continue to grow. You know, I would love to in 5 years have 4 doctors or at least, you know, 3 or 4, if not more than that, doctors and a larger team so that we can accommodate more of the community and we can really, you know, grow that help for people.
Is your facility that you're currently located in, would it need to be bigger in order to see that? Or
so that's one of the things I love. We actually have a good bit of space. And so, and we have potential for growth as well. And so, you know, I think we can absolutely accommodate, you know, a larger team and more veterinarians. And again, that goes directly to being able to add in additional services and maybe even expand hours and different things like that. So like just growing, I guess, from the core belief and starting at really the heart of why we're doing what we're doing and being able to expand that to where now we're able to offer that to even more people and help even more people would be the 5-year, like the big dream.
Do you feel like you just kind of gave birth to your baby here, essentially. Do you feel like there could be potential for you to kind of start things and go and move to other location and have multiple locations?
I mean, you're talking like 10 year, 15, you're getting way out there.
I know.
I mean, the sky's the limit.
Yeah.
You know, it's really about,
I mean, you clearly have a lot of energy and passion for this business, for this way of doing things. And so when you have that much energy and passion, it's like, okay, are you going to go, you know, wide? Or are you going to go tall? How are you going to expand? How are you going to get bigger?
Yeah. And I think like for us, I think it's focusing on the here now, right mm-hmm. now. Because
yeah.
as you said, we just birthed the baby. So it's like, we want to make sure that, that everything is flowing and working right. And that we're really giving that top-notch service to every client that's coming in.
I'm like the person that you give birth to a baby and they're like, when's your next one? And you're like, I just had a baby. Calm down. we're going to get this one, you know, going. And so where are you located down in Sparta?
Yeah, so we're right next to the fairgrounds on Spring Street. So we are in Sparta proper. And you know, I did not realize how much traffic that road gets. Spring Street's actually like,
yeah,
it's really busy.
Are you excited to be able to kind of be part of the Sparta landscape as well as just a business owner?
Yeah,
get involved,
sure.
You know, mentioning that you're next to the fairgrounds, being involved in, you know, what happens at the fair and that kind of stuff. Just, I think that small business owners in these rural communities that we have just are the heartbeat of everything that's going on, whether you're involved in, you know, doing things with the school and doing education on, you know, pet care with the schools and whatnot. Are you looking for outreach opportunities at this? I mean, listen, we're not saying that you should go and ask for sponsorships because you're going to get that no matter what. So we're not doing that. Are you excited about just kind of being part of the landscape of things too?
Oh, for sure. So just in all the years that I've worked, like one of my passions or my side passions is helping rescue organizations. You know, I'm deeply involved with several rescue organizations. Mm-hmm. I'm blessed enough to be on the executive board for Major Mike's Spay and Neuter Clinic here in town.
Which that closed down for a little while, right?
And it did. We've been reopened now for 3 years, 4 years. And I think it's so vital to the community, and they help, you know, all of our people in White County and in Sparta, as well. So we're trying to get more grants and things to help the community in Sparta specifically. And then, you know, I've already talked to Beth at the White County Shelter. They need so much help there. And some of the rescue organizations that help the shelter and that type thing, just to provide them with some relief and some help.
So just because you did touch on that, what can people do to get involved or help along those ways, aside from donations of money? I mean, that's always a thing nonprofits need.
Oh, yeah, nonprofits always need money.
Yeah.
But I think more than anything is time. I mean, if you can call any rescue organization, shoot, you could call our practice and say, hey, I want to help, but how can I get involved? How can I help? And we can point you in the direction of, hey, I want you to call this person. They will get you, you know, with what they need. There's so many other things other than a financial contribution that these organizations would really benefit for. You know, I know the White County Animal Shelter and specifically probably need people to come walk dogs, help clean. You know, it's a lot of physical labor, and it's not
even
probably.
I think the Putnam County Animal Shelter has like junior volunteers.
Yeah.
And my daughter is 11, and she was interested in just going out there, and she probably just wanted to pet cats. But, you know, just being involved, she's one of those that's always loved animals. She's talked about going to vet school, and I'm like, maybe we can figure out some. And that, like, I love the fact that thinking about there's other options that you can still work in the pet care community without being, you know, going to school for a million years and going, you know, spending $1 million of money to get a degree.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of other options that people can think of that are still useful and still very, very, very important to the pet community.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
What last parting words with people, what do you want, people to know just about, again, about their animal care, you know, yearly maintenance? What are the more scary things that they should be bringing their animals into a veterinary hospital for?
I mean, I think scary things, if you notice a change in your dog or your cat's behavior and something's just not right, like they're not eating as much or drinking as much, or they just don't seem like they feel well, catching those things and getting whatever your veterinarian recommends, whether that's blood work or whether that's, hey, let's take a quick x-ray, it can catch problems before they become life-threatening. And so that's, I think, so important that sometimes people put off and they say, hey, I'm just going to wait. Let's see if he's any better. At least call. At least we can give you advice over the phone and say, hey, you know, maybe watch for this, watch for that if you can't come in. But at least call and get some.
And there are a lot of times where it's just a simple, I was having a crazy cat and we got her like a some collar that was like lavender us, and she just kind of chilled out a little bit more. Maybe it was like, you know, almost like CBD for a cat kind of thing. But just there are things that can kind of solutions that aren't a huge major surgery,
right?
That I think that's what people fear is, I'm going to call the vet and I'm going to come home with $1,000
right
bill.
And it's just, that's not the case.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things, again, it goes to exactly what we want to do, is go hand in hand and say, what does that look like for you? And here's what we think. And here's step by step what we think we should do.
What's a website, or how can people follow you and contact you?
Yeah. So it's just riversidevetsparta.com is our website. riversidevetsparta@gmail is our email. You can text our office phone number. And like I said, give us a call anytime. And I believe we have online booking now, and we have a whole store, and it's wild. It's been really fun.
Awesome. Well, congratulations on your new business. Can't wait to see where you take it.
Thank you so much.